Sorry about that technical difficulties. Jimmy was telling us about the vignettes he did with during his feud with Jon Moxley. Jimmy, why don't you continue what you were saying about hoping there was more faces out there, more eyes watching on YouTube?
Yeah, that just seems to be a big thing these days. There's so much content out there and so much stuff for people to choose from as far as what they watch that I know me personally, you know, the viewers that I'm getting on my YouTube videos have gone down significantly in the past few years, and I think that's across the board with everybody. So it's really hard to cut through all the content that's online, but I was proud of what we did.
One of the things about the matches was, and Gabe has learned from the best with Paul Heyman, was, like you said, it was all done on YouTube, but the matches themselves built up to the following match. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Jimmy, you had a three matches with Moxley. One was the I Quit match in Chicago, and then there was another one in Canada, which leading to the match in Fall River, the I Quit match on the Internet pay per view.
A little backwards. We had our first match in Toronto, mm-hmm. that was a no DQ one, and then we had one in Chicago that was a big brawl,
right.
And then that led to the I Quit one in Fall River.
Yeah, the I Quit match was in Fall River. The one I watched most recently, I did watch the I Quit match, the Untouchable, which was the Chicago street fight. A lot of times you hear about on street fights and I Quit matches, a lot of it is hardcore blood and guts. These matches all told a story. I thought they were well done. Can you tell me a little bit about how you and John go about making the matches tell a story rather than just going with straight hardcore?
Thank you. Well, it's... you know, it's certainly it's something I've done for a while now. You know, if anybody's followed my career with Ring of Honor, I've done a lot of you know, and even IW Mid-South, I've done a lot of, you know, these fights and these heated feuds. So I've got enough experience at that. We knew that, you know, Dragon Gate USA is only running you know, maybe 10-12 shows in a year. So we knew that every match we had to be something special, but at the same time leaving something for the next match to do. So we just built upon that. You know, I thought we had a good match in Toronto, and then we built to do a little more in Chicago, and then finally to do the big I Quit match in Fall River. As, you know, as far as putting it together goes, it's a little bit of brain power from everybody, but I think we came together successfully to have an all right match.
One of the parts of the match, or the finale of the match, I should say, out of Fall River was you made the announcement, and you've been that you want to go back to wrestling. You want to go with what brought you here. How's the transition going to be going to straight wrestling? Do you have any plans on how to work matches in your head, or are you just going to go on a case by case basis?
You know, it's I've done a lot more watching wrestling recently than I have in years. I think, like you, and a lot of people, you get bored with wrestling or you get disgruntled with it. I've been watching a lot of it recently. You know, try to get some new stuff, do some new things. You know, I've been in the gym a lot and working out and dieting and all that stuff. So I'm working hard to physically get where I need to be and to bring some new stuff to the table, do some new things. And, you know, it's hard because there's so many talented guys. You know, when you look at Evolve and Dragon Gate USA, guys are so athletic and they're so innovative. So it's going to be hard to keep up with some of these guys, but I shall do my best.
Well, one of the things I noticed about your career, and one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on here was the story you have to tell about your addiction and how you're overcoming it. Could you tell the fans listening now a little bit about the background and how your day-to-day battles with your addiction?
You know, it's something that I really didn't plan on you know, sharing with the public initially, but Gabe had sort of come up with this idea for an angle and didn't mention me talking about drugs or anything. But I just thought that added to what he wanted to do. And, you know, of course, it was real. It added to the realism because it was real. It was just something I got into a few years back that I shouldn't have. You know, there's this mentality in wrestling, I think, that you know, it's all about this party, or that we're wrestlers, so we're a different breed, and we're, you know, back in the day, we used to go out and, you know, drink Jack Daniels and take pills and do whatever, and now the kids are all nerds. You know, there's a certain, like, party mentality, I guess, that still lingers, and I think I got caught up, swept up in that. and it took me a few years of struggling to get past it.
Well, I was when I was with the WWE, and by no means am I putting myself in the same position as being a talent. I saw it on the outskirts, and it wasn't so much I was part of it, but you know, you see the guys coming into the arena a little hungover or what have you, and I gotta. With the lifestyle of a wrestler, I got to tell you, especially when you want to give your best in the ring 100% of the time, especially for a promotion like Dragon Gate or Evolve, where every match, every card is so important, I would think that you'd really want to be on top of your game each and every night.
Yeah, for sure. You got to be on top of your game. You know, I was mostly a functioning addict, which was all right, but I think it took away from my performance in other aspects. Like, I wasn't taking care of myself physically, and I wasn't putting everything I had into wrestling. I was just sort of coasting by. I was still working hard when it came, you know, time from bell to bell, but I could have been doing more otherwise.
Yeah, I think some of the old-time wrestlers, like you said, they think today's guys are wimps or what have you, but, you know, it was a different breed back then. They drove everywhere. They got a six-pack. They headed on to the next town, but... you know, it's a fine line to cross when you got to perform each and every night, as opposed to, you know, Dragon Gate or Evolve, where you don't have a house show schedule really. Each and every match is going to be on pay per view or DVD, and you want to do your best. So I can appreciate where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, you know, there is still some sort of lingering mentality like that. Like, I mean, even you know, there's just these videos up with Jeff Hardy and Matt. Seemingly all blitzed out at some diner, and Jeff says about CM Punk, "I just think you're a nerd." And you know, he's saying this while he's clearly not of a right mind. And you know what? If CM Punk's a nerd, well, you know, Jeff's making being a nerd look pretty cool right now, because Punk doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
I think there is, and that's nothing against Jeff. I don't know Jeff. You know, I can't judge him. I've done all my stupid stuff too. But, you know, there is a little bit of that mentality still.
Right.
So and it's not cool. I think the younger guys need to know that, you know, enough to that. Box, it's stupid. You can do just fine without ever going to a bar and drinking and doing drugs or anything. It's just, you know, have fun, but don't be stupid.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to ask you about, was that particularly that video. But how do you feel about the social networking sites, the Facebook and the YouTube? Obviously, your promotions have taken full advantage of YouTube. But do you think there's a fine line, again, that the wrestlers need to watch when they cross over, where it hurts business rather than helps business?
You know, it really is a toss-up about how you want to approach it. First of all, I think it's important to be on those you know, those social networks and using the internet to the fullest extent that you can. Like I said earlier, there's so much content out there. It's really hard to push through it all. But how you handle it, it's a toss up. You know, some guys are very open. They answer every email. They interact with the fans a lot, and sometimes that helps things because you know it helps them get fan bases and. Connect with the people feel connected to you, so in turn they want to, you know, pay money to see you wrestle or pay money for your merchandise or whatever the case may be. You know, other times I think it hurts you to get too close to the fans. You lose some of that superstar quality,
mm-hmm.
So to speak, if you're too accessible. So it's a toss-up, but...
I agree with your last point on. I agree with everything you said. The last point about the stars being the wrestlers need to be larger than life, especially superstars. And if you get a little bit too close to the fans, then I hate to use this term, but you're going to their level. I think fans want to be involved in wrestlers' careers, but I think they also want the wrestlers to be on a pedestal, so to speak, where they're not touchable. And I think that adds to the realism of the feuds and the buildup of matches and the talents themselves.
Yeah, like I said, there is truth to that, but I think on the flip side, I think you know, a guy like Matt Hardy is really into the social networking stuff, and he responds to his fans, Hurricane Helms too, and through doing this and through being accessible, more people gravitate towards them, and I would guess it does help their business too. So you know, six to one, half a dozen the other. What sometimes it can work both ways.
Sure. I think Matt, not to go off on a tangent, but I think Matt Haverty's done a great job. I mean, to a point of again creating interest in himself, creating interest in his character, especially when he's going through his turmoils with the WWE. I think that added a lot of interest in what he had to present.
Yep, no doubt.
Now, take me a little bit about your career in Evolve Wrestling. One of the things I like about Evolve, and for those of the fans out there who haven't followed Evolve, Evolve works off of a wins and losses, which I find very unique, and I find it pretty interesting because each match, again, means something in your leading up to standings. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Evolve Wrestling, which is booked also by Gabe Sapolsky.
Certainly, yeah. You know, I was gone from Ring of Honor last year in the summer, and it was in the fall or so that Gabe approached me about Evolve and told me about the concept, and I was excited to be on board. I was excited to help out in any way I could, and I thought it was a neat concept, a different concept, but not so different that it was like hokey or trying to reinvent the wheel or too hard to follow. I think a lot of times, you know, everybody thinks you need to come up with a new thing and, you know, try to do reverse battle royals and just all sorts of different wacky things that doing them for the sake of that they haven't done before. And I thought just the idea of, you know, having a backstage camera, you know, sort of like office style or documentary style was cool. And I thought, you know, just keeping track of the wins and losses. It's slow going at first. Of course, when the difference being, you know, one guy's record, another guy is, you know, 1-0 and 2-1. I mean, that's not saying much. But once it's starting to get going, and it is right now, I think I'm like 4-2, and Johnny Gargano's 4-2, and Chuck Taylor's 4-2. So now all three of us are 4-2, leading the wins there. So there's stories that are starting to build, and you know, and the longer it continues on, the more intriguing the stories are going to be. You look at The Undertaker now, who's like what 18-0 in WrestleMania or whatever, and people want to see who's going to give him that first loss. So certainly throughout sports and, you know, sports entertainment, if done right, I think records are can really help.
I think so too. Yeah, any historian, so to speak, of wrestling can. You mentioned the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania, but what about Goldberg? I mean, half of it was a fictitious wins anyway, but it was still a way to build up the character, an undefeated wrestler. Undefeated wrestlers, that's been a way to build up a wrestler since day one. And now here's Evolve taking it a step further. Everyone's got a win-loss record, and I think it makes for some interesting matches because that's part of the build-up of the matches as well.
Exactly. I mean, and just like anything else, it's just a tool to add intrigue and add importance to every match.
Now, the last card for Evolve was in Union City, New Jersey, and I took some downloads off of the website, and I see you hanging off the rafters, literally hanging off the rafters versus in your match with Johnny Gargano. You got to be a little bit crazy to do moves like that, but is it just part of the way of making the fans remember that you've remember you and make the match more special for them?
You know, I've always been a big fan of looking at the buildings I'm working in and seeing what will work for me, and this building has a low ceiling, and I saw the rafters there, and I thought it'd be good to use it, so we did. I tried to do something different. Like I said, man, some of these guys are so good, and they do such, like, crazy stuff and cool stuff. I'm just trying to stay in the same league.
If you had to pick one of the most memorable move you've done throughout your career, or the most memorable match, or most memorable moment, which one would you pick?
I think, you know, it's always a rough question. You know, I've had so many times, so many matches that are special to me in one way or another. The one that I think people who have followed my career would remember me the most by is the cage match I had with B.J. Whitmer in 2007, Detroit at Ring of Honor.
Was Ring of Honor, when you worked there, you had also a memorable incident with the Briscoe, and you want to tell the fans a little bit about that one, because I was very fascinated with that as well.
Yeah, that would be actually the other moment that would come to mind. When the Age of the Fall debuted, me and Tyler Black and Lacey and Necro Butcher, after a few months of viral marketing you know, through the internet and medias, you know, we debuted in Chicago, the four of us as a group. We attacked the Briscoes. And we hung Jay Briscoe upside down by his feet, hung him scraped from the ceiling, and he was bleeding, and I was wearing all white. And so I cut this promo underneath him wearing all white, and he was bleeding buckets, so it looked like I just showered in blood, which I basically did. Definitely a powerful visual in my wrestling career.
And that was a visual that you brought back in the Chicago street fight with Moxley. Was that that was obviously the same coat you wore?
Yes, it was.
And you alluded to it. And a lot of the fans, I guess, are repeat fans, and I thought that was good as well. Even if there's a person out there that doesn't know of the incident, it just adds to the realism, because you can't if that happened in your career, then it's something you should use.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the story with me and Moxley, it was sort of my future versus my past, and so this different stages of my career needed to be addressed. So we addressed them all to kind of, you know, get them out of the way and start this new chapter in my career. It was sort of a cleansing, so to speak.
And let me ask you this question. You were 15 years old when you debuted in your debut match?
I was, yes.
Now, I remember being 15 years old, and what I worried about was whether Buzz Sawyer was really, you know, Brett Wayne's brother, you know, that sort of thing. How does a 15-year-old debut, and what is the... It must be a world of difference between being a 15-year-old sophomore in college to being a professional wrestler. Can you tell the fans a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I guess it was a different time. You know, 1999, everybody wanted to be a wrestler, and there were a million wrestling schools, and wrestling was...